You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, Alan.
Hey, Joshy.
How's my baby boo-boo bum-bum?
Oh, I'm good. I've got my coffees and I got my Long Island accent and I'm doing all right.
Good. I've got my bubbly. I'm obsessed with bubbly right now. Obsessed. I always What's that?
Where's Sweeney? He was just like crawling all over you.
That was Toby. My cat loves my recording studio and will literally like climb up onto my shoulders. And I mean, but it hurts. It's like the kinkiest pet hold you could imagine. Like it really hurts his nails. Even when you cut them, they're so fucking sharp. It's brutal.
Yeah, cats, you know, they do that. They crawl on things.
Is that a train I hear?
It is. It's the Long Island Railroad.
It sounds like something from an old musical. Like, oh, look, it's the Wells Fargo train coming down.
What do you talk?
We're the show with the widest cast. What do you talk? Oops, sorry.
He doesn't know the territory.
Well, Alan, I'm really excited about our episode today. My dear, dear baby angel boo-boo bum-bum from another mum-mum, Rory O'Malley is on the show. We met doing Little Miss Sunshine. Did you see Little Miss Sunshine?
No, that was during the phase where between when I got super into Broadway and just listened to cast albums when I was a young person.
That's fascinating. I just thought that you were always one of us.
Not until like the last, you know, day or two.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no. Well, welcome to the theatrical community. And for those of you, I mean, I'm sure you know who Rory O'Malley is. He's a Broadway star. He's incredible. And now he's like the star of TV and film, including like some incredible new shows. One is on Netflix right now that I'm obsessed with. And so get ready, set. Are you ready for the episode, Alan?
I am so ready.
Fuck. All right, here we go. Play the music. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of Josh Swallows Broadway. I am so excited because I have a really old friend here on the show that I miss, that I love. He lives in LA now. He has a child. So all this time that I thought I was going to be his baby, I was wrong. Please welcome to the show the genius, the most talented Rory O'Malley.
Josh, you'll always be my baby.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just a baby. I'm only this many. And yeah, we were just talking about like, so yesterday we just did episode 1, but we did it in person. But now I'm back in the dungeon booth that looks like I was kidnapped. And yeah, and you said something really funny that I'm just going to regurgitate that I should sing, I think. I think I'm alone now.
Because you thought you were in like one of the mall recording studios being held captive. And
Yeah. Haven't seen mom in weeks. And here I am and talking to famous people. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I'm alive.
Yeah.
I am healthy. I just am like so grateful every day to have gotten through the last year and a half. And you know, it's like a new level of gratitude. So yeah, I'm good. I'm great.
Good. I'm so happy to hear that. Yeah, the past year and a half was such a kick in the balls. It was so terrible.
Every day.
Every day was so horrible. But I'm so glad that the world is opening up. We're going to get to the New Year show, to your new show in a minute, because it is so funny and it's so nice to watch something light and hilarious rather than, you know, just days of doom and dread.
Right.
But we met years ago. We were acquaintances for a long time.
Because I was like a stalker of Hair. I saw Hair many times and all my friends were in it and was obsessed with
And you wouldn't stop following me.
I wouldn't stop. I couldn't.
It was really scary for a while. I had to go to the Broadway League.
Is that where you go?
Yeah. Well, all
because
my problems.
It makes them sound like Avengers, the Broadway League. Come here for protection.
Yeah, basically. And then we did Little Miss Sunshine together off Broadway.
Yeah. Which was so much fun.
It was so much fun. I miss it. I miss you. All those little girls are all grown up and some of them are super famous.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? It is wild. It is wild. Like that was, how long ago was that now, Josh?
Oh, God.
It was 2013, I think. So 8 years ago.
Was that really 8 years ago?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think it was like the fall of 2000. So like exactly 8 years ago.
Remember when Stephanie J. Block made me be dance captain?
Yes.
Made
you
be dance captain? Yeah, that worked out terribly.
Brilliant.
She's brilliant. Josh, be dance captain. I don't want to do it. Okay, Miss Block. And then, of course, I'll never forget, was it, what did James Lapine call it? Feeding the animals?
Oh, my God. I forgot about it.
He would throw candy at us to catch our mouths.
Yes, he would throw snacks, like sometimes candy, whatever he had, and he would throw it, and we would have to catch it in our mouths.
This is Pulitzer winner, Tony winner, James Lapine.
Yeah. Yeah, like I just want to talk about Sunny in the Park with George. And he's like, okay, but first, see if you can prove to me your worthiness by catching this candy in your mouth. And I'm like, well, I better do it.
I was terrified.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it was like you needed an athletic ability to be in this musical. And it kind of threw me for a loop. But he was so good with the kids.
Oh, that he was great with the kids. Yeah. Though I love that was like, that was our job to catch food thrown at you by James Lapine.
Yeah.
And for massaging Bill Finn.
Yes, that was your other duty.
Come on, just give me a massage, please. Please, I'm so... Oh, I farted. It doesn't smell, I promise.
Yeah, that was part of your dance captain duties. That was the dancing in the show.
That was the dancing, massaging Bill Finn. Not dirty massages, listeners. Ooh. Get your mind out of the gutter. So you've had a busy year. I'm so proud of you. I think one of the dreams for all actors is to get to be a voice on a cartoon.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, because I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and loved musicals, and the only musicals I would see were Disney musicals. It was like I wasn't getting to even go to touring shows that were coming in because we couldn't afford to go. You know, it was like getting to see Beauty and the Beast and all of those great musicals through animation is how I fell in love with musical theater. So yeah, always has been a dream. And Chicago Party Inn is not Beauty and the Beast. But it is.
It sort of is.
Oh,
it
sure.
It sort of is.
Okay. Now
it's
that you
like
mention it.
Daniel and the Ant.
Yes. Okay. I see that. Now that you mention it.
But
it
could ever learn to love, an ant.
An ant from Chicago. it is a crazy, raunchy, hilarious show that's basically a love letter to the city of Chicago. And I grew up in Cleveland. So to me, it's like a love letter to the Midwest and to Midwest culture, which loves their sports teams and their bars and, you know, that life. And I grew up in that world. I wanted the Browns to win so badly. I remember praying for the Browns to win. I didn't care. I just wanted my family to be happy. And I knew it meant so much to them. So it meant so much to me. And, you know, it does. It's part of the culture. And that's what this show is about. It's like how hardcore Chicago folks love their city and everything about it. And it's actually, you know, it's a crazy way that this came about that Chris Witowski started this Twitter handle called Chicago Party Ant and just made like hilarious jokes as if he was this woman from Chicago. and got together with his friends Katie Rich and John Barinholtz and created this show that is so over the top funny, but really at the end of the day, it's this kind of love story between an aunt and her nephew. And I have so many aunts in my life related to me and not. And especially as a gay guy, those relationships are so important to me. And they aren't really explored too much. There's not a lot of like, you know, stories like this, especially on TV. So that's my favorite part of the show, is exploring the aunt nephew relationship. And there's a lot of exploring going on.
There's
in some
so
crazy
much.
Situations.
It's so funny. I love the aunt character. I mean, she really is like a party holic, so raunchy. Right. So like, I was watching an episode today where like, the character wasn't even talking, but her tongue was like wagging out of her mouth. Yes. And it was the funniest thing I had ever seen.
What's great is that when you do an animated show and you read the script and it's so hilarious, and then you see what the animators did with it on top of it that has nothing to do with the lines, it's like a whole new level of comedy. And this character, Diane Dombrowski, she's brilliant. You know, I think she's up there with like Homer Simpson, and she's just so full of joy and so offensive and so over the top, but totally joyful and happy and loves her family and her city so much. And that's what makes it work, you know, is that it's actually just a big celebration of who she is and her people.
Yeah. Well, and I love that your character Daniel's gay.
Yeah.
That makes me really happy. It makes me feel seen. It's
I know.
And he's such like a lovable dork.
Yes. Yes, he's a nerdy gay like me. So I love this character so much, and I'm so happy that they cast a gay person.
Yes.
You know, that's it's funny. You think like, well, of course, but we know that's not always the case. And I think it was very important to them to have a gay actor voicing this character. And there's also RuPaul on the show, which is
like, have you met RuPaul?
Only like this. Over Zoom, because we recorded the whole thing during COVID. We started in March 2020. Yeah. So we had a bunch of table reads and every recording session where we could be on the same schedule. It was kind of like doing a radio play where we couldn't see each other, but we were just doing the lines back and forth. And, you know, I'm a huge, huge fan of RuPaul. Obviously.
Yeah.
I'm an alive gay man. And and to, like the best part about recording Chicago Party Aunt was saying lines and hearing RuPaul's laugh. Because you know, like when the queens are on stage and they get RuPaul to laugh, you're like, oh my God, RuPaul loves her. Like, how amazing would that feel to get RuPaul to laugh at one of your jokes or something? And Ru is just like all in, was so professional and so supportive, and was laughing, you know, just loving the gig. And, you know, I'll take that with me. Till my
Absolutely.
Final days that I got RuPaul to laugh.
Everything about RuPaul I'm obsessed with, like especially their laugh, like the whole Miss Vanjie, like Miss Vanjie.
Yeah.
And then Michelle Visage kept on being like, Miss Vanjie, and he couldn't even handle it. Was like, shut up, I'm gonna get you. Like, that's the kind of moment I want, and now you know RuPaul.
Yeah. Yes, through Zoom. You know, it's like a lot of these relationships of work have changed. But yeah, I mean, I've acted with RuPaul.
Oh,
and
my God.
What
now
else do
you
I
really
need?
Have to adopt me. I want to have a bar mitzvah
Come
over,
on over
again.
California is calling you home,
oh
Josh.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? That would be amazing. And I'll come live with you and your family.
We will love that. My husband certainly needs a break from me. after being stuck with me for so
nonsense,
long.
Nonsense. So, like, tell me a little bit about your journey. I know that you're from Cleveland.
Yeah.
And you were raised by a single mom, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is incredible. Yeah. And
who's here right now. She's really? Also, yeah, she's here for a couple months helping out. She came back in March of 2020 when we were going to open Hamilton here in Los Angeles. Our final dress was March 11th. Our first performance was going to be March 12th of 2020. Oh my God. And so we never had that first performance. And so my mom had been in town just to help out with Jimmy, and it was amazing, and was only going to be here for a month. And obviously I wasn't going to put her on a plane with everything that was happening. So she ended up being here for about 7 months. And was a wonderful help to us throughout the pandemic. And, you know, she lives alone. So I was just so glad that she was here with us. So anyway, she's back. We've opened Hamilton again. And it's kind of nice to have her back here to be able to go to the show at night and, you know, not be afraid that the world is ending. I mean, I'm always afraid the world is ending, but you know, it's not the same feeling as the spring of 2020. But anyway, yes, it's great to have her here. She raised me in Cleveland. I came from a big Irish Catholic family. My first role was playing St. Joseph in the Christmas pageant at Our Lady of Angels. My aunt was the director. So that's as far as my nepotism took me in this business. And, you know, I knew from that moment that I wanted to be an actor when I was 8 years old. And I sat my mom down very seriously and told her, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And to her credit, even though she was an accountant and had no idea what this world was, she enrolled me in the local children's theater at Beck Center. And I spent 10 years at that children's theater and community theater doing plays and, you know, did every play and musical I could in Cleveland, sometimes two or three at a time.
Well, please tell me some of these incredible productions that you were in.
Oh my God. I was just listening to Chess, thinking about when I was a freshman in high school and did Chess at the local community theater.
No.
Yeah. I was thinking of my One Night in Bangkok costume. It was leather pants. I can't believe that I was allowed to be in that, but you know, anything for art. And it was, I did like Jesus Christ Superstar and Evita. I mean, we got
You're
to be in a lot of-
for Evita.
I was.
You
I was
scream,
really perfect.
Scream Argentinian.
Yeah, I know, it's true. You know, well, I was in the cluster of English people, you know what I mean? What the like ones who look down.
We are rich and they are not.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That was me. I was in the ensemble, obviously. But, you know, I played Sky Masterson and Guys and Dolls at my high school. That was a really big role for me. I remember it was one of my biggest mistakes I've ever made on a stage. I walked into the revival scene and I, you know, my line is, has anyone seen Nathan Detroit? And I walk in and I go, has anyone seen Sky Masterson? Wait a minute. I'm Sky Masterson. And literally got the biggest laugh of my career. Like I'll never get a bigger laugh than that mistake, because everyone knew exactly what happened. You know, sometimes when you make a mistake, just underline it and
you
put exclamation points around it.
My favorite story is one of the 8,000 national tours of West Side Story. The Chino at the top of Act Two, like, ran on stage and was like, Maria, they killed your parents. And she was like, oh no. And how is my brother?
That, I had not heard that one.
Oh, it's one
I heard
of my
the
favorites.
One, I heard the one when the gun didn't go off and Chino hit Tony with the back of his shoe. And he fell over. Did you hear that?
How many heels left, Chino?
She said,
a heel for you.
Yeah. She said, how much poison is left on this poison-heeled shoe, Chino? How much poison? God, God knows if any of this stuff is true, but I love those kinds of things. Theater legends of it a performance that only like
true.
You're right. No one can write that kind of stuff and let it, you know, go on for years and decades. But
there's another story about like Death Trap or something where the guy was supposed to have like a fake gun and he didn't. And so he took like a cup and pretended there was water in it and was like, this is poison juice. And like pretended to flick it on her or something like that.
Oh,
it's
my
just
God.
so fucking funny.
And you know, like there's, you know, half the audience is like, oh my God, that's hilarious. And then the other half is like, yeah, it's poison juice. I accept it.
Yeah.
I accept it 100%.
That's how my aunt died. Poison juice.
Yeah. They don't know. Even when it's West Side Story, and you know, it's like, oh, they made some changes at this local community theater. Good for them. Guess this is the reboot.
I sort of get off. This is so terrible on those like videos on YouTube of shows that have gone wrong. Like an amateur Peter Pan where the poor thing flies into the set and the set falls down.
Yes. Yes. No, you know? I mean, I have laughed too many times at like actors falling. It's going to come back to me. Like I have to admit to it now. I know it's bad karma to do it, but we've all been in these situations.
We've all done this. We've all been in there.
Yes. Maybe the recorder wasn't on. We have, you know, but I've forgotten all my lyrics to songs and made up, you know, a whole song before.
I forgot my lines and I looked at the other actor and I just laughed and said, your turn. Did you see the video of Helen Keller falling off the stage in a production of Miracle Worker?
No.
She was so in it. And it was like a high school production or something. And poor Helen Keller fell off the stage. But they kept going. God. They kept going. As
professionals.
There was a really large hole in that family's kitchen.
Oh my God. Well, good for them.
Good for them. I think that's sort of where my love of improv came in. And like, do you on Chicago Party Ant, do you get to do any improv or anything like that?
Yes. It doesn't mean that they keep it or put it in the show. But when you're in, you know, in a recording session for an episode for like 3 to 4 hours, you know, you do the lines a certain way, but you know, they're like, all right, now do it, you know, one for fun, you know? So obviously, but it's the folks who wrote Chicago Party Ant are all from Second City in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm really way too intimidated to improvise with the likes of them because they are total pros, but you know,
well, so are you, you're hilarious.
Well, thank you. I feel like there's different kinds of comedy performance. And when you're in with the likes of like real improvisers who do it for a living, who are trained for a decade in improv and comedy improv, like it's like watching a magician, you know?
That's what I always say. It's like a magic show when it's done really, really well.
Yeah. Yeah. And so to, you know, be in a recording booth with folks like that who can, you know, who created the characters and, you know, are living in that world. It's just, it's intimidating, but also they're very generous to me and laugh. Yeah.
Remind me of the actress's name who plays your aunt on the show.
Lauren Ash. She was on Superstore. So good.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. She's amazing.
So like, I mean, I haven't done a cartoon. What do you think is the biggest difference between doing like TV, film, theater, and now voice acting?
Well, first of all, voiceover acting is incredibly hard to break into. Mm-hmm. Even more than, and I, you know, it's just crazy to say that because it's all so hard, but I have probably auditioned for 500 voiceover jobs. And I mean that, 500. And I think it's because it's easier to, you know, ask for auditions. It's kind of like, you know, we're all doing things on tape now because of COVID, but that's how voiceover always is. So you're never going in. So they can submit something and get hundreds of auditions without, you know, losing any time. And I think that because you can have actors play you know, if you get one person who you like, who you work well with, you can have them play so many different roles because they just change their voice. They don't have to change what they look like. So I think it's a really small part of the industry. And so I'm still figuring out how to do it. You know, it's not like when we walk on a stage, we feel like we're at home because we've been on a stage since we were kids. Even when you're in front of a camera, like it just feels a lot more natural because you're talking to people. Doing voiceover is kind of like you're in a vacuum. Even when you're working with other people, you're only hearing them. And you have to kind of give them a variety of options. And, you know, I think the best part, the reason why musical theater folks are so good at it is because we can warm up our voice and know how to play with it. So even when you're not singing, like I'm not singing in Chicago Party Ant, I'm definitely using my voice in a way that's similar to singing a song and trying to find different pitches and, you know, playing Daniel, who's 18 and I am not. 18.
What are you talking about, Evan Hansen?
Josh, I have, okay.
Sorry, we won't go there.
Let me tell you, like doing press for this show, people brought that up. They were like, well, yes, people said Ben Platt is playing a younger character in his movie. And now you are playing a younger character in this animated show. Have you been getting any pushback? And I was like, no, because it's a cartoon.
Have you talked to Stu from Family Guy?
Yeah,
like, I think it's okay.
I was like, I've also voiced like animals and you know, like
well, the raccoon community is pissed.
I mean it just was a little, I was like, I think it's a little different, you know, without getting into it. But you know, but I will say, like, I had to make sure that I didn't, you know, sound like I just smoked a pack of cigarettes or something when I would go to the recording studio to be, you know,
Aunt Diane, I've never had a kiss before and I want
Right. So I had to pitch it up, you know, and be 18. But luckily I still sound like I'm going through puberty sometimes.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So. I think your portrayal of Daniel is perfect. It reminds me a little bit of Little Shop of Horrors, not the show, but the character, in the sense that there's all these huge characters around you.
Right.
And so you have that hard job of being like the sweet, normal one.
Yeah, the straight
almost.
Man.
Yeah.
The gay straight man.
Yeah, the gay straight man. You know, and also you said something about like, you know, it's like singing, which I agree. Can we please have a Chicago Party Ant musical episode?
I hope so. I hope that's
in
the works.
Can you pitch it? Can I pitch it?
Yes.
I'll send a tweet or something and be like, hey, I wrote a song.
Like, yes, and you need to sing it.
Yeah, exactly. They'll tell the cast that I'm singing for all the characters. It's going to be great.
Yes.
And then I won't have to sell my body anymore. that's fabulous. I'm really excited for you. I've been binging it, and I think I may have mentioned this earlier. My favorite episode for sure is when you want to get your first kiss. And those,
the Halloween episode.
Oh my God, the costumes at the gay bar.
Yes.
Like sexy Woody from Toy Story.
Yes,
like
sexy Tin Man.
Sexy Tin Man. Oh God, I'm blanking on some of the others, but like literally I had to pause and rewind because I was focusing on all the costumes and I was like, okay, now I'm going to go back and like listen to what's actually happening.
Yeah, I know. The animation is so funny in itself, like even beyond that was the surprise for me when I was watching it for the first time, just not even knowing how many more jokes were going to be there. And people from Chicago, like if you're from Chicago, you're going to see so many Easter eggs in this show because they've recreated so many of the different bars, like the bar we're in, the gay bar Roscoe's.
I've been to Roscoe's.
I have too.
okay. wait, that was you.
Yeah, that was me. That was me.
Fascinating.
Yes. They really went through a lot to make sure that it looked like Chicago and the references are like so specific. Even the barbershop where Diane works, which Rue manages, and it was like, you know, sports cuts, whatever. That is actually a real barbershop. And Rue's character, Gideon, takes it over and turns it into like a borough, a New York fancy place. But there is a real place called like Sports Cuts or whatever in Chicago. And they put the real address of what that place was in the cartoon, like on the door. So they're specific, like they know Chicago, the people who've created this show. And so most of the people who are really flipping out about it are the people who live in Chicago and love it. But again, it's, you know, it's for everyone. We all have a Chicago party in our lives.
We all do. Well, I mean, it's so global. It's so universal. My aunt wasn't a party aunt, but she was the one who like took me to New York to see Sunset Boulevard took me to LA.
Oh my God, who did you see? Who was your Norma Desmond?
Betty Buckley.
Mine too.
Ah! And check this. She took me to Sardi's after the show. And I was like, I'm on a stage door. But fine, let's go to Sardi's, whatever that is. And we went to Sardi's and then we were walking back to the hotel. And guess who came out the stage door?
No.
Betty Lynn Buckley. Oh, I think she was still in character. God. She looked like a little like
what character?
she looked like she just killed somebody and they fell in a pool. You know,
she's a force. She is a force of nature. Getting to see her in that role was probably one of the greatest experiences I've had on Broadway because she just is a tidal wave.
It was heaven. My aunt lightly had to like slap my arm because I was singing along with the show because what else do like 14-year-old queers do?
Exactly. No, I was in the same place. I remember I went to a family vacation in Vermont and I was listening to the recording. And I remember saying, you know, Vermont is so close to New York City. We should go there. Like Vermont is not really that close.
Nowhere near New York City.
No, but when you're from Ohio, you know, it's a little closer.
Close enough.
A little bit. So I remember trying to convince my mom to take me to New York, just, you know, a little detour on the way back to Ohio. It didn't work, but then I got to go see Betty Buckley. And I remember Terry Hatcher was at that performance. That's the time capsule of that memory.
I didn't see Terry Hatcher at mine, but also to just think about all those stars, you know, and how much they meant to me. Mm-hmm. And then like being an adult and being like, oh yeah, I'm doing a reading with Joe Gillis. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, it's so powerful. Maybe Betty can come on Chicago Party Aunt and I don't know, be like your crazy grandma or something.
I would
like
love
Norma
that.
Desmond comes on.
I would love that. You know who plays the grandma actually, at least on the mother's side? I don't know who the father's side would be, but is Laurie Metcalf.
Stop it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Laurie Metcalf.
Uh-huh.
Stop.
Uh-huh.
Stop.
Yeah,
shut
I know.
Your face.
I know. It's funny because there's a lot of people in the show that they haven't really publicized that they're the voices. They kind of just wait for you to like read the credits at the end.
Yeah.
But the creators are all from Second City and Chicago. So it's just full of people who are from that world. And we're in
the Have you gotten to Zoom with Laurie Metcalf?
No, but by God, if I get to
you
do
You need
more episodes,
to raise some hell over there.
I am. I'm going to flip my laptop over and throw
this
a real
is
stink.
Workplace abuse. I was in physical therapy. I forget what show I was doing at the time, but she was doing Misery.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And she
Bruce
was.
Willis.
Uh-huh. And she was on the table next to me. And oh my gosh, it took everything within my power not to roll over and be like, I love you, Laurie.
Oh my God. I so agree. I mean, her days on Roseanne, she was.
Sorry, my
Siri doesn't understand what I'm saying.
Siri just started talking. Siri, shut up. Shut up.
You just don't understand our love for Laurie Metcalf, Siri.
Yeah, jealous.
God.
Or
clearly, Siri's not gay. no, but I mean, I loved Roseanne so much, and she was so fantastic on that show. Her and John Goodman, their scenes were my favorite. Yes. And I remember when I first moved to LA. This is like right out of college. I saw her in All My Sons. She was the mom in All My Sons. Mm-hmm. And she was so good. And I had brought a date. I brought a date, a guy who I had maybe met once before. And I was like, let's go see All My Sons at the Geffen. And on the way out, she was in the lobby talking to people. Oh. And I was like, oh, I have to say something to her. And he was like, not a theater person really. He was like, oh no, you don't talk to people. Like, you don't know her. I was like, she was like, do you know her? I was like, no, I don't know her, but I need, you know, it was like that feeling. You have to say something. And I just went up to her, probably interrupted what she was saying to a friend, and was like, you're wonderful. You're absolutely magnificent. That was an amazing performance. Thank you so much. And she was like, oh, thank you. You know, very, very nice. But like, I'm in, you know, the middle of a conversation. And I said, okay, bye now. And I walked out and I never heard from that date ever again. You know, that guy was like, he's insane.
Yeah.
He's
a stalker. I think theater dates are hard. I went on a date, like a first date, to go see Leap of Faith.
Oh.
Yeah. I think that sums it up. Ooh. Yeah,
it is hard because you know what? Being in an audience of a show is such a personal experience that you have to share with somebody afterwards. And it really is. It's actually so revealing, and it's maybe a little too intimate, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Why couldn't we have just gone to Planet Hollywood and boink in the bathroom?
That you don't have to have any, you know, deep feelings or conversations about Planet Hollywood.
Also, don't boink in the bathroom at Planet Hollywood. That would be really, really disgusting.
Again, Bruce Willis is there. That's disturbing.
Yeah, but if Laurie Metcalf was there, I'd be like, I love you, Laurie Metcalf.
Oh, for sure.
I think I'm going to do an ASMR episode where it's just like, this is Laurie Metcalf.
You're Laurie Metcalf.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, sure. And I'll just be like, I was wonderful as Jackie.
And Jackie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now she's on your show. That's really incredible. And like her, I've always felt like to be an incredible comedic performer, you just have to be an incredible actor. Like, you have to be able to get it. I've seen you do so many different things, and to see you, well, to watch you do Daniel in this show is just, it's just like another flavor of like your talent that we don't always get to see. And it's, I don't know, it's really heartwarming. It makes me feel just over the moon for you. Plus, you're on my favorite network. Is that what it's called? Network or streaming service?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know, but Netflix.
I'll ask some people who are younger than us. They'll tell us.
Yeah, we'll put them on Zoom. But no, like Netflix got me through the pandemic.
Yeah, same.
You know, and so I don't know. I'm so grateful for them. I'm so grateful for the show that's out. And wait, don't you have another cartoon as well, Central Park?
Central Park, yeah, that is that, and that is a musical cartoon, and that's really that's probably why I'm on Chicago Party Ant, because, like I said, I'd auditioned hundreds of times, and the first break I had was because I went to college with Josh Gad, and he created an animated TV show, wow. And I play Elwood, who is the assistant to Owen, played by Leslie Odom Jr., another college friend of mine. So, you know, it was kind of like, okay, great. You know, you auditioned hundreds of times, and it's like I literally had to be a college roommate with someone to get into this business. But, you know, it's like then I was able to kind of do 2 years of those first two seasons, and the character is written so well and has so many great songs. And it's definitely for this audience. You should check out Chicago Party Ant on Apple TV, excuse me, Central Park on Apple TV, because it is some of the greatest music coming out right now of storytelling. And they have so many different writers, so many amazing folks. And in the next part of season two that's coming out in a few months, I believe, I sing a song written by Bobby Lopez and Kristen Anderson Lopez. And I'm so excited about that because
that's, you know, so cool. You're like, yeah. Elsa now.
Yes, basically I'm Elsa now.
Move over, Casey.
Yeah, my dream coming true, finally. God,
that's so fantastic. I wish your son was old enough to watch Chicago Party Ant.
Yeah, well, he has been in the room when it's been on, and even though he doesn't get the, you know, the really raunchy jokes, I can't like have it on while he's in there. I'll just, you know, it's definitely an adult show for everyone listening, but he can watch Central Park, which is great. And I wasn't sure if he realized, you know, that I was voicing the character of Elwood, but when the character was singing, he pointed to me and went, Papa, Papa.
Oh, so my God.
It was cool, you know, because now I'm in Hamilton again in Los Angeles. We've opened the show back up.
With Taylor.
Yes, that's right.
I love her.
Oh my God. She's so good in it.
That's what I hear.
She's phenomenal. She just is such a great spirit. Taylor Amon Jones, she plays Peggy. And Mariah, and she is just extraordinary. And it's so funny because she's kind of like, her being in the show means a lot to our company, because like I said, we were about to open the show and we got closed down, and now the whole company is back a year and a half later and we opened the show, and she's the only person in the company who had never performed in Hamilton because she was new. She was the only person who was new to Hamilton. So I remember having a dream a couple of months in to quarantine where she finally got to perform. And she was so happy. And on our next company Zoom, I was like, Taylor, I saw it. You are going to perform this. We're going to come back. And I know it's going to happen. It was this beautiful dream. And I didn't know it was going to be another year after that that we would be coming back. But it was just such a beautiful thing to get to witness her have her first time in the show that, you know, we've all spent years doing the show, but it was her first time, and she's awesome. She's
what was that like, being a part of one of the first shows to reopen?
It was surreal. You know, I have to be honest about it. We focused so much on that happening, you know, that I was, when we got the word back in May that we were going to open, it was so quick. It was like, okay, we found out in May that we're going to open in August, that our first show was going to be like in 8 weeks. So it felt crazy. It was like, okay, great. You know, this is amazing. Finally. And it also felt really, I want to say scary. It was like Delta was coming back so quickly, bringing it all back. It felt like PTSD, you know, like it felt like, okay, here we go. We're going back into this theater, into the Pantages. Cases are going up. Everyone's scared. How are we going to get through this? And there were just days where I was like, we're being set up for failure again. We're going to have our hearts broken. You know, like that's what I was afraid of. Yeah. I was afraid that we were just going to be punched in the gut again. Luckily, the shows are doing such a fantastic job of keeping everyone safe. the audience and backstage. We're all vaccinated. Everyone in the audience is vaccinated. We get tested 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. We don't go into the Pantages until we have a negative COVID test. And the audiences have just been absolutely amazing. You know, I look out and see a sea of people wearing a mask. We're wearing masks backstage when we're not on stage. I don't know what else could be done. And, you know, luckily we've had success in keeping everybody safe so far. And so it was a scary time, you know, of being like, are we all just going to set up a failure? And feeling like if we screwed it up, that it was going to screw it up for everybody else as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, well, I mean, I think all of us were sort of like, I mean, this might sound terrible, but it was like, well, open up Hamilton and Wicked first and let's see how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. And I've said like to our, I think our cast and our company really knew like we have to be strong and go first because Hamilton can, you know, like yeah. this is what this show needs to be in this moment in time, because audiences are going to show up. We got to show that we can do this. We can do it safely for the people working on the show and the people coming to see the show. And I think everyone has been just amazing. You know, I'm so proud of my company, not just the actors, but the crew and everyone in front of house wearing masks the entire time.
Yeah.
Working so hard. Vaccinated, making sure that everyone feels comfortable. And, you know, now we have COVID stage managers who are literally just walking around, making sure that people are wearing masks, that everybody feels safe, and testing all of us. And, you know, that's a whole new division of our industry, but it's very important.
Yeah, no, it's strange. I'm doing a workshop in a couple of weeks and I just got an email from the COVID safety manager. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
5 minutes to no swab. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm really happy for you. I'm really proud of you. I'm proud of your entire company. I think that I just started going back to seeing shows.
Yeah.
And there's also a sense in the audience of like a sense of camaraderie. We're all here. We're all here because we love it.
Mm-hmm.
We're all here because we want to support it.
Mm-hmm.
And that theater is such a huge part of our lives that it really matters for us to be here.
I have never, ever been more grateful to audience members than I have been over the last month. Audience members are always working so hard to get into a Broadway show. They're waiting for tickets. They're paying for tickets. They're paying a lot of money. They're, you know, getting there. It's not easy. It's much easier to sit on your couch and watch a TV show.
Yeah.
So it's always hard, but to make sure that you have your vaccination card ready, to make sure that you're wearing a mask the entire time. Obviously these are things now that are a part of our culture after the last year, but to see theatergoers making sure that not just that we are safe, but that their fellow audience members are safe, to jump through that hoop just to see a play is the most beautiful thing after a year and a half of basically being told by society that we are the least essential workers.
The least essential.
I mean, they wouldn't even be talking about when we were coming back. You know, I'd look on lists of, you know, when things were going to be opening up if it got to a certain level, and, you know, theaters, we weren't even on those lists.
No.
Yeah. So to see the faces of these people with masks on them, to hear them, you know, cheering and the applause that they are giving to us, it's the most beautiful sound and responses I've ever heard in my life and ever will. So, you know, I wish I could hug each and every audience member after, if it wasn't COVID inappropriate, kind of defeats the purpose. But you know, it's a special time, you know. Yeah. And I feel really, obviously, for so many reasons, I feel privileged and honored to be a part of Hamilton always. But at this specific moment in time, it's something that we're going to be telling generations how the Broadway community survived this. And how we got back up on our feet and who was there for us. And we're always going to have to remember the folks who got us there, you know? Yeah. And I think that we have a lot of leaders right now, not just on stage, but in the audience. And I so appreciate them.
Oh my gosh, you're going to make me cry. Well, I mean, I'm grateful to you for what you do. I'm grateful that theater's back up and running. And I'm really grateful you know, it's so important to me in this time of darkness to be able to just laugh.
Yeah.
I think laughing is, you know, whenever a friend has a birthday, I'm like, I wish you all the laughter in your new year, because laughing is so important. And so it was a breath of fresh air. Like, it's still hard. You know, we're not all the way through this. And there's still that, like, I have an audition every 8 months, or, you know, not really, but it feels like that.
Yeah.
And so to be able to, like, sit on my couch, turn on your new show, not think about myself, and just, like, laugh and feel good and miss my aunt.
Yeah.
And also, like, being a nerdy little gay, like, I relate to Daniel so much, like, especially that last episode that I was telling you about, where, like, how awkward it is to, like, how do you get somebody to kiss you?
Yeah. At a gay Halloween party where you don't want to be a sexy anything, you
at
know?
At Roscoe's.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. And that's the kind of, you know, my 20s were that conundrum of, like, how do I fit in with all these cool gay people when I am not cool at all?
I mean, in my 40s, that's what it still is. I'm like, will you please look at my body? Please, please, just, I'll give you all this money. Just look at my body, please. I'm so lonely.
And I mean, especially, you know, like, this past year, I think for a lot of gay people, because coming together at bars and theaters, you know, like, we've all been isolated.
That's our culture.
That's our culture. That's how we found friendship. It's not, you know, we have to have these spaces that we go to celebrate each other, and we haven't. And it's made it really lonely for so many of us. And I think, you know, it's good to have, make sure that we can watch TV shows and laugh, but also to, like, check in with friends and make sure we're all laughing through this insane time. Because I remember when I drove my mom back to the airport in September 2020, it was like 7 months into I remember wanting her to get back on that plane and go home because the pandemic was over and I knew she was going to be okay. And there was just this point where I realized that's not going to happen. She's going to have to go home and it's going to be really scary. Yeah. And I think that's what was kind of like my disappointment in Broadway coming back right now, because I am so proud. It is amazing. It is safe. And it is, but I kind of wanted the switch to flip and everything just to be okay.
Yeah,
and that we didn't have to worry about anything. And that is not the case, you know, and that's okay. I've had to, like, accept that, you know, over the last couple of months, that no, we are going to have to continue to make sure that everybody is tested. And, you know, like, this is a new normal for a little while. And once I got over that I wasn't going to just be, like, back to normal, I realized it's good that a lot of these things are going right back to normal. That
yeah, we, a lot of the we have to process.
Yes. And I think that health is being taken to a new standard, you know, not just about COVID, but just, like, mental health, checking in with each other. And from a company standpoint and from each other, you know, and that is going to, you know, as hard as this year and a half has been, I think it's going to make us all stronger in the end.
I agree. You know, I've never been one to really cry in front of people for whatever reason, unless it's on stage.
Right.
That's how you get awards. but, like, I've had a number of friends where, like, we could just FaceTime each other at any time and just cry.
Yeah.
And be like, this is really scary. This really sucks. I don't know what's happening. I feel like I haven't seen another living soul other than my cats, you know, like, so how do you get through? Or, like, I was home for a few months and I was like, if I see my parents one more time, if I have to remind them that I pick the home one day, one more time, you know, it's
Shady Pines, Mom.
Shady Pines, Mother. you know, I do feel a much stronger connection to my friends, to my family, to this really insane industry that we're in, mm-hmm. And to the shows that I love, and you know, and the shows that help get us through. Because I do think that, like Hamilton, I think that does get people through. I think, you know, like your new show, that will get people through. It's important to have love and laughter in our life. And yeah, and I'm so glad that you get to be a part of all that history. It's really important and incredible.
What do you think the future of our industry is in terms of all of these recordings, the pro shots? Is that what they're called?
I think that they're there to stay. And I don't think that it's a bad thing. Uh-huh. I think it's great for people like us that grew up so far away from Broadway. What we don't know, though, is how that's going to affect people coming to New York or LA or Chicago to see these productions or the touring productions or whatever. So I think a lot remains to be seen. I think Diana was really, really smart to do a pro shot.
Right.
And, you know, of course, Wicked, not Wicked.
Hamilton.
Well, Hamilton, of course, but Waitress, they just filmed theirs.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, with Sarah Bareilles.
Oh,
as soon as I heard that it was coming back, I was like, oh, you're doing a pro shot. I understand.
Oh.
Clever, clever Weisslers.
I see.
But I think it's good. I don't think that it replaces live theater, but also, like with Hamilton, watching it on Disney Plus, and I saw the show with you in it. I saw it with Graffy, but there's still so much that you miss because there's so much happening.
Yeah,
that it really is like, oh my God, look at what these people do, and the ensemble. Yeah. How do they walk? How do they walk after the show?
I don't know. They're so good. They're so good. And I feel so guilty being the king who just like literally takes 12 steps as my choreography for the entire show. And they're working so hard. I always am like, I want you to know I have worked hard in my life. I did a tap number and all that, you know, like I just have total Catholic guilt about it. But yeah, they're incredible. And you're right. There's so much to see. And it's like, I don't know if I would have known who James Lapine was if I hadn't watched Into the Woods and Sunday in the Park with George on VHS so many times that, you know, the tape was destroyed. So I think that it's really great that these shows are being given to the masses. And, you know, it's a little scary to try to figure out how it's going to affect our industry, but it's kind of, I don't want to say inevitable. I think it just has to be, it is going to happen, and we have to figure out the best way to, make it so that is bringing more people into the theater and keeping more people employed.
Yeah, well, I always say, you know, what we said at Groundhog Day when the set never worked, you know, it's like champions adjust. Everybody in this industry is a fucking champion.
Yeah.
You know, it's a champion of adjusting, because that's our life. And, you know, I'm really just grateful that I've gotten to be your friend over these years, and to, you know, you're somebody that I definitely look up to, and you're
right
always...
back at you,
thanks,
right back
friend.
At you, Josh. I think you're one of the most talented human beings. You are certainly one of the funniest people I've ever been on a stage with. And I love how open your heart is to your fellow artists. Always. Mm-hmm. You are always just, a ray of sunshine, even when you're saying you're having a bad day, you know, like you are honest about who you are. And I'm so glad that you are podcasting. You know, this podcast is fantastic, and I'm so glad that you're doing it. I've done podcasting. I know it's not easy, you know, to...
No, I was on your podcast.
You were.
I remember
you
that.
Sure were. And you know what? Your first guest of your podcast, Stephanie J. Block. My first guest, Stephanie J. Block. This is a fun fact that I've never admitted even to Stephanie. I've never told anyone this. I recorded my podcast with Stephanie at her home. This is like back in 2000. 16, I don't know, when I was just starting. And I told her, oh, I'm doing this podcast. And like, you know, I've been doing these interviews. And I was so nervous to interview anyone. I was so scared. I had never done it. And I was so nervous she was going to find out that she was my first interview. So I didn't tell her. Like, why would she care? But I just, I don't, you know, like it just felt like so scary to feel like I had permission to ask questions. But the whole reason I did it was to have these, you know, personal conversations with the people that I admired. And, you know, I looked up to her and Sebastian because they had a child. And, you know, I knew how that was so important to them because we worked with
her.
Yeah,
and they went through so much to get that beautiful baby.
Yes. And I wanted that too. And I think part of the reason that I started a podcast was just to talk to people in our industry who had kids or had gotten through difficult situations. And I wanted to know how they did it. Because I was having similar troubles or wanted to figure out how to get through our industry. And I feel like that's what you do every day, but you make people laugh as well, which is such a, like you said, it's the only way to get through these crazy times. And this podcast is excellent. And I'm just glad you're doing it.
You can keep going. No, Rory, thank you so much for coming on the show. I love you. I miss you terribly.
I miss you
too. I'm glad that I can binge Chicago Party Aunt. So I can,
you can hear my pubescent voice.
Yeah, so I can be like, that's my Rory. And now that I know that Lori Metcalf, I need to go back and rewatch. I love you. You're so important to so many people. And thank you so much for taking the time to come on my show.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, you're the best. All right, listeners, go check out the show on Netflix, Chicago Party Aunt. It's brilliant. Also, if you want to help contribute to the show and keep us going, you can come to patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. And I promise you, I will love you and think about you and fantasize. No, I'm just kidding. But I will love you forever. All right, till next time. Thank you for listening. Bye. Josh Swallows Broadway is produced by Alan Seals, Dori Berenstein, and myself, Josh Lehman, with associate producer Elizabeth Wheelis. And special thanks to our Patreon producers, David Rimmer and Josh Harris. You can join them. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. Leave a rating. Leave a review. I read them. This is how I continue living. Help me live. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for keeping Broadway alive. And swallow you soon.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.